You can be seated, church, and as you're having a seat, if you want to grab your Bible and turn it to Acts chapter 16, we're going to cover a short section today, and then next Sunday we're going to finish out the entire rest of this chapter. I think whenever I have to go into Jennifer's office and check like my personnel folder, but Shelby and I are getting closer and closer to 20 years with this faith family. And it's been a while, it's been a long time, a good time, but you know you've been around a while when the kiddos that were in your children's ministry this tall, you start to marry them. Over the next 2 months, two of the young ladies who grew up here are getting married, Claire Flanagan and Allie McMullen. And I remember when we first came and was doing children's ministry that one of my favorite things to do to introduce this story was something called Would You Rather? And so I'd have all the kiddos downstairs and up street come to the middle of the room and line up and then give them two options. Right? Option number one, you go against this wall. Option number two, you go against this wall. So church, in the spirit of cooperation and charity, would everybody get up? I'm just kidding. We would do fun things, like would you rather have chocolate ice cream go to this wall or vanilla ice cream go to this wall, and just watch the kids. You couldn't stay in the middle. There was no middle ground. You had to go to one side of the room or the other, and do you like Ohio State or do you like West Virginia? And Dad, some of you who are West Virginia home, some of your kids went to the Ohio State side. I just want to let you know that they were making good decisions way back then. But we all sort of do those things, don't we? Get a little bit more serious. Like, where would you rather go to vacation? Would you rather go to the beach or would you rather go to the mountains? And a little bit older, and like, where am I going to go to school? Am I going to go to OU or WVU or Ohio State? That would be three. We need a triangle room for that one. But when I graduate school, am I going to stay close to home? Am I going to go far away? And we all make those would-you-rather decisions all throughout our lives. We never end. They never end. But sometimes it's not always like here and there. Sometimes it's not always a clear-cut decision. Sometimes something looks good in one lens and looks good over there. But all of us are eventually going to come up to a time where there's going to be a time where what we want to do bumps up again against what God wants us to do. And sometimes it's obvious right and wrong, but sometimes it's not that way. Sometimes it's a good choice and a good choice and you have to decide, and sometimes it's a good choice and God's best and we have to discern what that is. Our text for today, we see the Apostle Paul in one of those multiple times in those situations where he wants to go and where God wants him to go don't mesh. And I pray that we're able to take something away, learn something on how Paul and his traveling buddies handle this. So Acts chapter 16, just 6 through 10 this morning. If you would, let's follow along as we read. And they went through the region of Phrygia and Galatia, having been forbidden by the Holy Spirit to speak the word in Asia. And when they had come to Mysia, they attempted to go into Bithynia, but the Spirit of Jesus did not allow them. So, passing through Mysia, they went down to Troas. And a vision appeared to Paul in the night, and a man of Macedonia was standing there, urging him and saying, "Come over to Macedonia and help us." And when Paul had seen the vision, immediately we sought to go into Macedonia, concluding that God had called us to preach the gospel to them. I'm going to ask Danny to throw that map of the journey up on the screen. And you never noticed how dim this screen was until we put the two like glaring screens up yesterday. Thank you to the teams that did that. It's great. But just so you can sort of see what's going on, as we go through these five verses, we see Paul has plan number one. He wants to go into Asia to preach the gospel. So he is over here in the green, remember, and he wants to go into that big red area over into where you can see Ephesus over there, which is the capital city of that region. And he wants to go there, but the Holy Spirit says, So he says, okay, let's go this direction. So he's going to go up, so I'm going to go up to Bithynia. And there's not you can see it up there with Pontus. He wants to go up this direction. Once again, the Holy Spirit says, nope, I don't want you to go there either. So he goes over to this coastal city of Troas, and has a vision there. And in that vision, right, we see God giving him some direction. A yes, finally. But I want you to just point out a few things. Like two times in these few verses, the Holy Spirit said no. And we don't know how the Holy Spirit spoke to Paul. We know that the last one, when he says yes, go to Macedonia, he does that in a vision. But the other two times when he says no, we don't know what that interaction looked like. Like did a tree fall down across the road in front of them? So Paul said, oh, maybe we're supposed to go here. Was there some type of a divine message from God? Was there another vision that's not recorded? Was there a sickness that kept Paul from going? Because we've seen that happen in Paul's life before, and we'll see it again, where there's a thorn in his flesh, where there's something. But we don't know how God communicates this to him, but we do know he communicates this to him. No. We also don't know why. We don't know why God said, I don't want you to go here. Because we know, if we flip a few more pages in our Bible, we know that he gets over to Ephesus eventually. We have the book of Ephesians. So we know that he gets there, but is it because of the turmoil that was going on in the capital city at this time that God's just saying, hey, you guys have had enough of the backlash and the persecution for a bit. Let's go a different way. Is it, I have something better? Is it a not yet type? We don't know why, but all we know is that two times the Holy Spirit says no. I want to note something. As you read through these, you also see that the language changes. They. And then at the last verse, us and we. The author of the book is now joining this missionary group that's going through to Troas and to Macedonia. So Luke is now joining this group. And they're there. And I also think it's pretty cool that if you were paying attention to how God spoke, you sort of see this crescendo. First, it was the Holy Spirit who spoke. Then it was the Spirit of Jesus who spoke. And then it was God himself who spoke. Right? No, no, yes. Right? And you see the whole triune God involved in the direction of this group who are taking the gospel. So based on Acts 16, 6 through 10, where the Holy Spirit restricts Paul two times from missionary plans that he had, what are the takeaways for us? What is Paul giving us for our personal, for when our personal wills, our personal plans collide with God's? When wills collide, who wins? Now, husbands and wives, I don't want to see elbows being thrown right here, but when there's a disagreement in wills or plans between husband and wife, who wins? Right? Or when what you want to do doesn't match what God is calling you to, what do you do? Three statements and a question. The first statement is when we look at good plans versus God's best, be willing to give up good for God's best. In our scenario, we see Paul had a good plan, didn't he? What was his intention for wanting to go to Asia and Bithynia to proclaim Jesus? Like there was nothing sinister about the reasons that he wanted to go there. He wanted just to talk a little bit about Jesus to people who needed to know Jesus. But God had something different in store, and typically when God has something different in store for you, it's going to be better. So the challenge question for us, is it possible that we are currently fighting against a good plan that is not God's best plan for us in this season? Is it when your plans are thwarted, when God says no, do you see that as a personal failure? Or do you immediately seek your own Macedonian call where God is providing redirection to you? Number one today, church, We have to be willing to give up something good for something better, something good for God's best for us, for you. Number two, recognize the holy no. Two times God says no to Paul. Sometimes when we pray to God, the answer is going to be no. And again, when God answers your prayer that way, it's for your good. Here, the Holy Spirit forbade them two times, forbade and did not allow two times to go certain ways. For you, for me, are we sensitive enough to the Holy Spirit to recognize when He is stopping you, when He is trying to redirect you? When a door is closing in front of you, do you push against it with both hands and get your foot in it and muscle your way through? Or do you look for the Holy Spirit to lead you in a more godly enterprise? Have you ever considered this? Have you ever considered that maybe the financial or the logistical or the physical or even personal obstacles isn't the devil attacking you, but rather the Holy Spirit protecting you from a wrong path? And we want to immediately attribute it to something else. Maybe it's God. Maybe it's Tony, you haven't been paying attention to me. So no, we're going this direction. Give up the good for God's best. Recognize when God is giving you a holy no. And respond with immediate obedience when you realize where God is leading you. They go to this port city, and some people try to say, well, he's trying to make his way back home. But if you were paying attention to the map and where he was being told no, there's a whole lot shorter distances and journeys from there to the sea to go back home. He wasn't trying to go home. He was deliberately looking for where the Holy Spirit was leading him, and he acted immediately. He didn't go to this port city and stay there for a while. No, it says we went immediately to where God was calling us. When God makes His will clear in your life, even if it interrupts your schedule and your plan and your comforts, do you respond with an immediate yes in obedience, or do you start negotiating with God? I give you a little bit of, if you want to do that, go back and read the story of Moses. Moses entered into negotiations with God. Guess what? How the end of the story? He did what God wanted him to do. God's equipping will always outweigh our excuses. Does your life show evidence of being led by the Holy Spirit, or are you forcing the Spirit to toe the line behind you? A question, right? Give up the good for God's best. Recognize when God is saying no to you and respond in obedience when you get a clear direction from God. All of how we answer all of these questions is an indication of how we will answer this question: do you fully, do you truly trust God? The scenario here, the team was redirected to an unknown place. The gospel hadn't been where they are going yet, and they ended up going on a crucial, history-changing, history-altering missionary journey. Do we truly believe that God's plans are better than our plans, even when they result in inconvenience, even when they result in delay of what we want to do right now, even when they cause us just a little bit of pain, a little bit of suffering? When you are in your treos moment, when you are waiting to hear from God, and there's a door closed in front of you, and you're waiting for a new one to open, are you sitting there in panic mode? Or are you comfortable waiting on God to redirect you? So I turned in the presentation to the tech team, there's one more thing that kept rattling around in my head. Notice that after Paul wakes up from this nap, this vision, he doesn't just say, hey guys, let's go, pack up the tents, let's go. No. It says, we decided. He pulled the people together. Now, I'm not going to ask you to raise your hand. Whenever you've made a big, life-changing decision on your own and it backfired on you, here, Paul shows us a little bit about how a little bit of, team effort And team involvement can set a good path. We discern that God was leading us, and they went. A group larger than one is almost always a good idea when making a decision. So taking all these, I guess, four statements and a question together, just a summary sentence. God's disruptions are often his divine invitations to a greater purpose. God's interruptions are often his divine invitations to a greater purpose. Paul had a pretty good idea and a pretty good plan of what he wanted to do. I want to go talk to Jesus about people who need him. And God said, not yet, I need you to go here. No, not yet, I need you to go here. And Paul was willing to go. God's interruptions are often his divine invitations for a greater purpose. Church, when you realize that your plans and God's don't match up, how do you respond? What happens when, in your world, when there's a collision of wills? How could your life be more open to the guidance of the Holy Spirit and the best plan that God has for you? Now, the focus in these five verses is obviously on Great Commission efforts. Like, we're going, we're taking the message to a new place. And our commitment to a Savior who died for us should propel us to take that good news to different places, to people who need it. But there's often things in our lives, aren't there? Some are good things, some are not so good things, that keep us from fully walking into what God has in store for us. So there's a lot of good stuff. Are we going to be willing to choose what is best? Are we going to be able to say no to something good, maybe something comfortable, in order to follow God's Spirit where he's leading us? Maybe it's not something good. Maybe there's something bad in your life. Maybe there's an addiction that just has a stranglehold on you. And you need to set it down so that you can hear clearly from your Savior. Is it pornography? Is it alcohol? Is it a drug of choice? Is it seeking the acceptance and the attaboys from other people? Is it power? Is it more money? What do you need to set aside so that you can chase after what God has for you that is better? Are you ready to recognize and accept when God says no to you because you believe he has something better in store? And when you realize that God is leading you someplace different and he makes that clear to you, are you willing to move and move now to follow where he's going to lead you and to see what he is going to do in your life? This week, church, I pray that whether our prayer life is filled with all kinds of yeses from God, that those yeses propel us deeper into the Great Commission that he's called us to. And I pray that when we receive no's, that we see it as the same thing, propelling us deeper into the Great Commission of our Savior Jesus Christ. We've been set free. We read in Galatians today that for freedom we have been set free. And I want to end just by reading to you from Galatians. It's a reminder of how the Spirit works and what the Spirit should produce in us. And here we see Paul following the Spirit, being told no by the Spirit, and then following the Spirit. And for each of us in our lives, may we be willing, like David in Psalm 143, to cry out to God, lead me by your Spirit. To be like Paul, when God says no, to follow that Spirit. May Galatians chapter 5 and part of 6 remind us of this freedom that we have in Christ that comes when we follow the Spirit. For you were called to be free, brothers and sisters. Only don't use this freedom as an opportunity for the flesh, but serve one another through love. For the whole law is fulfilled in one statement, love your neighbor as yourself. But if you bite and devour one another, watch out, or you will be consumed by one another. I say then, walk by the Spirit, and you will certainly not carry out the desires of the flesh. For the flesh desires what is against the Spirit, and the Spirit desires what's against the flesh. They are opposed to each other so that you don't do what you want. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. Now, the works of the flesh are obvious. Now, I like how the CSB puts this. It's obvious. And as we start this list, yes, it's probably pretty obvious. I hope it's pretty obvious. But don't let your ears wander as we read down through this list. You're going to find yourself on there someplace. Now, the works of the flesh are obvious. Sexual immorality, moral impurity, promiscuity, idolatry, sorcery. I think we would all agree, but then it starts to get a little bit closer and closer to home for a lot of us. The further we move down the list, hatred, strife, jealousy, outbursts of anger, selfish ambitions, dissensions, factions, envy, drunkenness, carousing, and anything similar. I am warning you about these things, as I warned you before, that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. The law is not against such things. Now, those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. If we live by the Spirit, let us also keep in step with the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, provoking one another, envying one another. Brothers and sisters, if someone is overtaken in any wrongdoing, you who are spiritual, restore such a person with a gentle spirit, watching out for yourselves so that you also won't be tempted. Carry one another's burdens. In this way, you will fulfill the law of Christ. For if anyone considers himself to be something when he is nothing, he deceives himself. Let each person examine his own work, and then he can take pride in himself alone and not compare himself with someone else. For each person will have to carry his own load. Let the one who has taught the word share all his good things with the teacher. Don't be deceived. God is not mocked, for whatever a person sows, he also will reap, because the one who sows to his flesh will reap destruction from the flesh. But the one who sows to the Spirit will reap eternal life from the Spirit. Church, let us not get tired of doing good, for we will reap at the proper time if we don't give up. Therefore, as we have opportunity, let us work for the good of all, especially for those who belong to the household of faith. Church, are we going to be a people willing to give up something good for something better and best? Are we going to be willing to follow God's direction even when he says no to us? And are we going to act when he gives us clear marching orders? Are we going to demonstrate our resolve, our faith in him, by chasing after him with everything we got? It can only be done by the Spirit, throwing off everything that tries to trip us up, tries to pull us down, walking in step with the Spirit. Let's be a people who follows the Holy Spirit of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ.